In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, if you remember, on Sunday, Bishop Dolan preached to you about the parents of Saint Therese of Lisieux, Louis and Zélie Martin. And yesterday, I told you a little story about the parents of Saint Thomas Becket, Gilbert Becket, and his princess wife Matilda. I'll tell you today also about the parents of today's saint, Saint Charles Borromeo. His father was also named Gilbert, namely Gilbert Borromeo, Count of Arona, a town in northern Italy. And the mother was named Margaret, and she belonged to the family of Medici, who came from a very distinguished family of many princes and popes. The saints' parents were remarkable for their piety and in their effort to keep the faith in their house and to express always that they also lived according to their faith. Count Gilbert was the senator of the city and a colonel, but most famous he was of his good Christian conduct. He went to Holy Communion every Sunday, truly remarkable on those days. And he said every day the divine office of the church on his knees, and often he shut himself up for many hours together in a little retired chapel which he made in his castle of Arona. There, covered with sackcloth, in the habit of a penitent, Count Gilbert Borromeo spent a considerable part of his time all alone in his devotions. He was a tender father to his family and to all his subjects, but especially devoted he was to the poor and the orphans. In fact, Count Gilbert gave alms to poor and much of his property to the orphans in such large amounts that his friends often told him he injured his own children by practically disinheriting them. But to this, Gilbert Borromeo answered, "If I have care of the poor, God will have care of my children." Count Gilbert never sat down to eat without first giving some alms, but even when he did, he did not eat much, because his rigorous fasting equaled his eagerness to help the poor. St. Charles's mother, Countess Margaret, was the prime model of piety for all the women of the town, and while other nobility ladies liked to go out and have fun, she hardly ever left her house except to visit a church or a monastery. I told you today in religion class about the power of good example, and the son of this pious couple, Gilbert and Margaret Borromeo, named Charles, grew up to be exactly like his good parents were. Charles loved prayer, did excellent job in his schoolwork, and besides building little altars and chapels to himself, he loved to sing the divine office. And even when he was a little child, he was very careful how he was dressed and of his whole conduct, that he would always live up like a good Christian child of pious parents would. When he grew up, he was wanted to become a priest, and he was only 21 years old when he was made a cardinal, the highest dignity in the church after a pope, and only 25 years old when he became the Archbishop of Milan, the largest diocese of Italy at that time. And even as a mighty and powerful man, Saint Charles Borromeo kept in his mind the good conduct he had learned in his childhood home. His love of purity was so great that he never let anyone see his arm, foot, or any other part of his body uncovered. He did not speak to any woman, not even his relatives or nuns, without at least two people being present, and even then as briefly as possible. He kept himself far away from all occasions of sin, and could not bear to hear anyone say an impure word. The members of our school choir might be interested to know that St. Charles was also involved in the approving and in approving the liturgical norms. During the Renaissance period, church music had unfortunately become corrupted by the use of many secular tunes and songs. These appealed to the taste of the age, but even the liturgical pieces were becoming too extravagant, too much distracting from piety, and attracting many to church only to listen to music. But St. Charles helped to reform liturgical music, restoring the sense of sacredness to it. He supported polyphony and the composer Palestrina, who to this day is considered one of the greatest composers of sacred music. So this saint, who as a child had learned from his father to love the divine office and love the Mass, contributed enormous amount of good in making all Catholics worship God in the most beautiful manner. It was also clear that St. Charles had divine protection and providence from God. Once a dissatisfied monk tried to murder him and shot him when he was kneeling at the altar of his chapel. St. Charles believed himself mortally wounded, but he calmly finished his prayers, signaled his court to do the same, and offered his life to God, thanking him for allowing him to die for his church. But when the prayers were concluded, St. Charles was found to be completely unharmed. The bullet had struck him on the spine, but instead of piercing him through, it miraculously fell down to his feet, leaving nothing but a slight swelling on the skin and the marks of his pierced vestments. Dear children, St. Charles truly grew up a saint in his childhood home. You should learn from him the enormous importance of showing love and respect and obedience to your parents, and the importance of how it is also your responsibility to show the world that you are a follower of Jesus. If you forget Jesus, he will not bless your home. But think of how great things our today's St. Charles accomplished, and how much God protected and blessed him. Learn from him especially love and seek Jesus in the church. You find here the beautiful prayers, lovely music, but most of all, you find Jesus himself here, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and in the Holy Eucharist. In your life, stay always very close to Jesus, and you will stay close to him in the future life too, in heaven, when you, by God's grace, are elevated there to enjoy this accompaniment of all the saints. May God bless you, children.